Here's a little something you may remember from the good old days.
I feel so old.
You're old.
You're so old.
I'm so old.
So old.
We're so old.
You're old.
Ha ha! You're old.
You know, the season goes a whole lot faster when the team that you're covering is winning. It is season finale time here on Senior Moments. Brian Sexton with the whole crew. Joe Fortunato back in the house. Good to see you, Joey. Wave to the crowd. And, of course, the senior writer, John Osier. Hi, John.
I'm here. I'm ready.
Those 10 years that you covered the Colts and all they did was win, every season seemed fast to you. How slow have the last 6 years been?
It definitely goes faster. It flies by, and December always does. You got the holidays in there. And really, this year is similar to the Colts teams I covered, four or five of them, in the sense that you hit that Christmas patch and you're playing the game at the time, but more thought is going toward the playoffs than the last couple of regular season games. And that's really been the feel even last week. I get that there was the clinching, but it's felt a couple of weeks like they were going to clinch.
Yes.
You sort of had that nervousness, will they really? But you felt like it was going to, and the thought, the mood has been about that first week of January, and that's what it is now.
You know, that storyline has not been fully explored from Sunday's game in San Francisco. But being on the sideline,
mm-hmm.
I can tell you for sure that I felt, you know, there was talk midway through the first quarter when it became clear, when players saw the score, that the Rams had beaten the Titans and
right.
they had clinched. I got the sense, just like this week, you're kind of going through the motions. When people hear that, they think, they really didn't give their best effort. I'm not saying that. But human nature does play a factor.
Right.
And when you are not playing your best, and you've already got the division clinched, and it's Christmas Eve, and you're in San Francisco, and you're wondering about getting home, it's no different than, you know, you're getting ready to play a game that really has no meaning for you in terms of the playoff standings, and it's middle of the week, and you're wondering about who you're going to be playing and how the entire slate of playoff games plays out, and will it be a 1 o'clock Sunday game or a 4:30 Saturday? In other words, this is kind of a tough game to focus on.
All it takes when you're playing at the highest level of anything, NFL, is a little bit of an adrenaline drop-off, and it's why I've always believed, and I'm not any genius figuring this out, you just watch the league, a team that has to win for something against a team that just sort of wants to or could or isn't playing for anything, it's very rare for that team to lose. The desperation team syndrome, I always call it. I thought it showed a little bit on Sunday against San Francisco. Niners weren't desperate, but they felt like they have something to play for. They feel like they're already playing next season. You know, you were there.
Yep.
And the Jaguars, it's just human nature. When you've clinched something in this league and when you know you're not going to move down or up, it's a little bit different. And I went on the sidelines, but to me, there was no way that wasn't a factor the other day.
I
think it'll be
a
factor Sunday.
Yeah, I'm telling you it absolutely was. So in that sense, with the has to win versus, you know, wants to win, would you play your starters this week? Would you sit more guys? Do you disagree with the sentiment of we're going out to play to win? If it appears that that DTS, that desperation team
right.
syndrome, is going to be so strong for a Titans club that really it's not a bad club.
No.
I mean, it's not a bad team.
And they were 21 points better than you in week two.
Absolutely.
Right.
Now, they've lost three in a row, but they are desperate to win, and you're at their place, and it's a holiday weekend still, and you have a team that's already clinched and can't do anything. Would you be more inclined to sit guys?
Well, they're desperate in many ways. This is a season saver for them simply because they were supposed to get in, and now it looks like they might not, as opposed to sort of making a rally at the end and falling short. So this would save it. You know, I'm a big believer in it's a league of attrition. A huge key in the playoffs is, are you healthy? Are you fresh? Are you ready to go? The old man, this is the way I've seen things done in me,
right.
says rest them. Be as fresh as you possibly can. But at the same time, most of the teams that I've covered outside the 96 team, the 96 Jaguars team, have had some playoff experience. They've had some experience being here before. So that's my background with it. Doug's point is with this team, he feels like this is the right thing to do. And mentally with this team, there's something in me that thinks he might be right because it's a young team. It plays on adrenaline. It clearly is still a team that has some discipline stuff that has to stay focused. You know, it's a wild team, if you will, hard to tame. I think he's did a good job taming it, but there's definitely that element to it. And I think there is an element of, look, let's just keep the gas down with these guys.
So there's two reasons why I agree with them playing, right? Maybe three. The first is what you just alluded to, and that is that this defense needs to go back out and play together. Everyone knows they were chirping at each other. They were very chippy with one another. Now, what a lot of people didn't see was they resolved those differences.
Right.
But there were moments in the game, and it was frustration that was taking over, and guys were chirping at each other. They need to go play, at least for half, well together again, right? They need to go and establish that. You don't want to go in the playoffs, I don't think, without having had at least a half where you're like, okay, are we good here?
Right. Makes sense.
Yeah. Now, there's part of me that, you know, being here all these years, shades of 99 and the Titans come back, right? I mean, you're 14-2 and you win the division, and yet you lose three times to them. And we heard that Jarrell Casey soundbite this week.
Sure.
He's saying they think they can claim the division, but can they really be the division champs if they don't beat us?
Sure you can. You know why?
Yeah, because you got more wins.
Because you're getting a shirt, pal.
Yeah. I haven't seen a shirt yet, have you?
No, I haven't. Them out yet. I'm assuming somebody has a shirt.
That it exists. The logic part of it probably makes more sense to you. The emotional part of it is probably what a lot of fans are thinking. They're like, oh, the Titans are going to do it to us again.
Right. Yeah, and I'm not big on that. I understand the feeling of it. Look, it's 16 years ago. If you lose to the Titans coming in here in the first round of the playoffs.
More than that.
What's that?
It's more than that. January would be 18 years since that game.
What did I say?
16.
Okay, 16, 18. 16, well, I'm old.
I've been here all the time. I remember it very well.
But you've got to play somebody in the first round.
Sure.
To me, I don't think back there, meaning the Doug Marrone, the brain trust, is trying to figure out who to try to knock out of the playoffs, who to set up, because they can't, frankly. The Ravens and the Bengals game has something to do with this. The Chargers game has something to do with it. You can't secure what you want by winning or losing on Sunday. There are other factors involved. For that reason, you can't spend the week thinking about it because you say, okay, we're going to lose to Tennessee or we're going to beat Tennessee and knock them out. Well, guess what? If two other things happen, you're still playing them the first week.
Right.
So you can do that if you want, but are you going to sit there and burn energy this week trying to knock a team out of the playoffs when you might actually have to play him again? So I think that's their situation is, look, there's A scenario, B scenario, D scenario, C scenario. We just lost this. There's too much going on. It's too confusing. What's the easiest thing to do when it's confusing for a football team? Go play.
Yeah.
So I think that's a lot of it, too, is, look, there's all these scenarios. What can we control? We can control how we prepare, and we can control whether we go out and play well. And that, I think, has been the MO of this team. So it sort of feels like that's where the decision has come from.
Where do you sit in terms of—
Right over here.
Yeah, I did notice that you were—
I'm just hanging.
There. But philosophically, where do you sit in the idea of going up there and making a statement? And that is, and maybe not to them, although, it is to them, but to yourself, and that is— We have to beat these guys because we haven't beaten them.
My thought is always,
or do you just say the playoffs are completely different, so who cares how the regular
season
ends?
When you're ready to beat a team, when you're ready to win, you're gonna win in this league. The statement stuff feels a little collegiate to me.
Yeah, probably.
But it's fun to talk about, and there's also an element though where, if players believe they're making a statement, then let them believe they're making a statement and go make it. You know, again, the teams I've covered have been different. Tom Coughlin in the 90s was a little bit more of a statement. Hey, we're going to go do this. The Colts teams I covered were a little more, hey, we're better than you. If we're better, we're going to win. If we're not, we're not. So this team, again, Tom's personality, Doug's personality are the same. A little more of a statement team. So if they want to believe going and making a statement matters, then it probably matters to them.
Final thought, Blake Bortles, who finished with 382 yards. I get the three picks.
Mm-hmm.
But as I watched him play, there were some moments where he threw some balls. In fact, the first interception I knew was coming. Because before that, he had the one dropped, right? And there was one that was batted at the line of scrimmage. I thought, yeah, he's kind of gearing up here mm-hmm. to throw a pick. He's getting a little loose and careless with it. But overall, I thought he played pretty well.
Yeah.
And I know everyone's jumping off the bandwagon. Okay, so now we know you can't go forward with Blake Bortles in 2018. After 3 weeks, we said, well, it looks like maybe you can.
People are so, you know, it's become a thing where either Blake in people's eyes is awful or he's a Rushmore quarterback of the NFL. You follow me?
Like, yep.
It's either he's terrible, we can't go forward with him. The bottom line is, right now there's five or six guys in the NFL who play consistently well each week, and I don't cover them, so they probably don't play consistently well each week. But the perception is that they do. And we all know who they are, Rodgers, Brady, et cetera, et cetera. Well, those are elite guys, Hall of Famer. I don't think Blake's going to go to the Hall of Fame. But I'll tell you what, out of the other – say that list I just talked about is a six-person list. Out of the other 25 quarterbacks, I'll take his year this year. I take it over Derek Carr, Mariota, Winston. You start reeling off a lot of names of guys that aren't in trouble for their jobs next year.
Absolutely.
They're going to be the guy. So then it becomes, okay, Kirk Cousins. I don't know if I would take Kirk Cousins over Blake Bortles right now.
No. And not for the money that he's going to demand.
Right, because all these things. So all of that stuff, I think he was fine yesterday. I mean, on Sunday. And what you look for when you're trying to make a decision on this guy is, are we going to let something go that could be getting a lot better, if you follow me?
Well, Doug said in his news conference on Wednesday that he believes
that
you can get consistently better over the course of the year.
You didn't like Blake's first, second, or third year.
Yeah.
I didn't. Even a second.
Right.
So are you going to punish him for that now at the expense of maybe having something that's good next year? To me, when you look at this year, he's showing all the signs. If you weren't worried about the first 3 years, he's showing a lot of signs that you like what's coming. Especially the other day, after the picks, he came back and performed well twice. After the pick six, he performed well and got him back in the game. After the second pick, which led to them being down 23-19, he had a very good drive that got them to the San Francisco 42. They punted. Essentially, in that situation, they got out of their own goalpost, flipped the field, gave the defense a first and 86.
And then the defense melted
down. And the defense couldn't do it.
Right.
Within the context of what they're asking him to do, you're not going to score every time when you go down four.
No.
But they got control. They got their breath back. This defense is supposed to make that stop.
You bet. And then Miles Jack and Yannick Ngakoue and Dante Fowler had those big penalties, which turned the game around.
So my point is, I haven't talked specifically to people about how do you grade Blake Bortles off that game the other day. But my guess is, back in the back, they're not being nearly as harsh as the Twitter buzz. And I think they probably think he played okay with a couple of exceptions.
Well, I'm going to tell you, watching the last three games prior to San Francisco, I thought Blake Bortles was terrific, and the numbers bear that out. And even playing with the young receivers, right,
mm-hmm.
with Keelan Coles and Jadon Mickens and Dede Westbrook, I thought he made them better. And then last week, as you might expect, they held him back.
I thought so, too.
Yeah. They held him back. And see, now that's the subtlety that people miss. They just put it all on the arm of the quarterback,
right,
and they don't pay attention to the routes that are run, whether guys are getting open. You know, Keelan Cole didn't run the right route on the – was that the third interception? The one that's mm-hmm. – yeah, it was the third interception. Well, I mean, that's – and that's not Blake.
Right.
Right?
And he's getting – when you have young guys, you get – you know,
you can't
veteran receivers give you help.
You bet.
Right now, the rookie receivers, I don't think they're really capable of giving it. They're capable of playing to a certain level.
Right.
They're not really capable of any bailout for them. So, you know, again, I think it would not surprise me if he plays very, very well two or three times going forward this year.
I really...
Three times. What does that mean, Brian?
Well, that means that they're going. Yeah, that they're going to go deep in the playoffs. And I'm with you. And the one thing I would like to end this with is, and it's a ifs and buts thing, but I would like to see the Blake Bortles that we saw the last 3 weeks with Allen Robinson, Mark sure. Easley, and Allen Hurns on the field together in December, guys that he can count on, that can deliver the sorts of routes
right.
and subtleties that he can play with, as opposed to trying to carry these guys, which is what I felt like he was doing on Sunday in
this
San Francisco.
This Blake Bortles with those three guys and Westbrook and Cole
Ooh.
As your fourth and fifth.
Now, that's got a nice sound to it.
Yeah.
Let's see where it goes.
There have been situations this year where, boy, A-Rob would have been huge.
Yeah.
And they're just those third and seven key situations. He hasn't had that. As a result, he's had to carry a lot of young people around him. And sometimes you carry them and sometimes they hurt you.
You introduced me to the principal of CRIMA last week.
CRIMA?
Anything for New Year's?
No, New Year's is just about...
Amateur.
Little cardboard hat.
Yeah, exactly. John, thanks so much.
All right, guy.
That'll do it. Senior Moments before the season finale in Tennessee. Thanks, folks, for joining us today. Talk to you next week.